everyone, and welcome back to Blog Talk Radio, Coaching with Carrie, here on Friday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, like it is every single week. I'm going to apologize to you guys in advance today because I do have a cold. My voice sounds horrible, and I'm going to apologize in advance if I get into a coughing fit. That may happen. I'm hoping it does not, for all of your benefit, because truly I might have to stop the show if it does. However, I wanted to continue on today because this is an exciting part of the session called, and it's tactic number 5 here in the Shift book, Get to the Table Lead Conversion. It's so important once you convert the, or I'm sorry, once you generate the leads that you actually convert them. Many people focus so much of their time and energy on converting, getting the leads that they kind of forget about, you know, honing in those skills to convert them, because in a shifting market, your success is going to directly depend on your ability to convert leads to appointments. So let's get right to it. Before I start coughing here, I want to get through this as quickly as we can today so that doesn't happen. Again, thanks for bearing with my voice today. Most people never run far enough on their first win to find they've got a second one. That's a saying or a quote from William James, and it's totally true. And this is really going to relate to what we're talking about today, because the market is less active and motivated leads are less forthcoming, as we talked about, in a shifting market. So your effort is there, and yet results are still going to be sluggish. And why does that happen? Well, when it does, you must immediately consider any lead to be a good lead, number one. And in another time that this might not hold true, it will now. So you need to talk about the fact that as you ramp up your lead generating and your experience, and you experience the market that's starting to shift, you're going to see that lots of leads but are going to come in still, but there are going to be fewer good ones. So scarcity defines a shift, and instantly you get it, you feel it. So you recognize that right now good leads are great and great leads are golden, but leads that become timely appointments are what really matter. So if you do lead generation but don't get a name and a number, what good is it? If you get a name and number but can't get an appointment, what good are they, right? It's an aha moment. As important as lead generating activities are, if you can't get a name, number, and ultimately an appointment, what have you really accomplished? Doing lead generating activity is one thing, and getting an active lead from it is truly another. Without the ability to turn activities into leads and leads into appointments, any lead generating activities that you do truly are futile, and you need to keep that in mind. In other words, conversion really matters, and it seriously matters, and maybe more than you've ever realized before. And in a shifting market, it matters the most because, quite frankly, what you need more than anything else are appointments with motivated buyers and sellers right now, right? So the essential truth is that your success in a shifting market, like I said, will hinge entirely on your ability to convert those leads. You make this happen by doing two things well. First, you have to generate leads, and then you have to convert them to appointments. And the ultimate success of your lead generation is going to depend on this conversion ability. You can't work one without the other. Yet many agents, like I said before, spend a significant amount of time and money on their lead production proficiency, but then they neglect their conversion competence. And this is never an effective way to operate in any market, but truly not in a market when it shifts. So the effort you give to converting leads must match the effort you give to generating them. Most entirely miss this mark. They look at their number of appointments and assume that their lead generation just isn't working, and the bigger truth might be that their lead conversion isn't working. And while agents regularly talk about generating leads, they rarely give equal discussion time to converting them. Why? It's a lack of clarity, really. Most see them as one and the same, but they're not. They're two distinct efforts, with your lead generation activity actually being the first. And when you say you've generated a lead, what you're really saying is that you have the name, contact information, and an appointment with a motivated person. That actually is the second effort of the process called conversion, right? Until you've done conversion, you really don't have a lead. You may have an inquiry, a web hit, a suspect, but you don't even have a prospect at that point. So don't fool yourself about this. You can't say you have a lead until you've talked with them and you've set an appointment. So in a shifted market, you really have no choice but to acknowledge the importance of lead conversion to your success. Motivated leads can be scarce, so each one becomes very precious. That means you can't afford to waste even one. You must be able to convert leads to appointments, but also convert a high percentage, right, of those leads. Converting any and all becomes very critical, so you must give it equal energy and attention. And the challenge is, lead conversion is a process that gets interpreted as an event instead of basically something that you really need to do. So it's misunderstood, it's shortchanged, and for most, it remains largely unexamined, often neglected, and worse, seldom mastered. If someone is able, ready, and willing to buy or sell right now, then conversion feels like an event that just happens. But that's not the case. Conversion is actually a collapsed process disguised as an event, right? Conversion can happen fast or slow, but it's always a process. The common perception is that prospects either just ask you to meet them or you ask them. Straightforward and simple, right? Yes and no. On one hand, this is exactly what happens, but it rarely ever just happens. If you naively approach it as an event and only prepare for it this way, your conversion percentage will be much lower than it could or should be. Consistently getting every possible appointment from the leads you generate isn't complicated, but it does require preparation, practice, and purposeful action. Our research regularly uncovered scenarios where an agent was allowing others, staff, or sales agents on their team to do all their lead converting. And as the appointment to lead percentage trended lower and lower, they started to hear the excuse that the leads aren't good, like they used to be. To test this, they took all their leads back and did the converting themselves, and guess what? Well, the appointments always went up, significantly up. So what did they learn? It wasn't about the leads, it was about their people. Their people were not performing at lead conversion. Even worse, because they didn't respect it, they couldn't get better at it. In fact, many agents have discovered that outside of actually generating leads, personally handing converting leads to appointments is the most dollar productive thing they could do for their business, and that is right. It's that important. So regardless of whether you want to do business immediately or in the future, the process of conversion is still the same. The only difference is the time frame, right? So converting a lead with capturing, getting as much information as possible, and it moves then to connecting, which is engaging in meaningful contact with them, and then it moves to closing, which is either by phone or in person, for an appointment. So without an appointment, conversion hasn't yet happened. You've engaged in the lead generation activity without achieving your lead generation goal. And the only purpose in finding a lead is landing an appointment. So why aren't we focusing on doing that more and taking it more seriously? It's all about getting to the table, right? So shifts create urgency, right? Shifts in the market. The competition for leads becomes fierce, and your only choice is to get your unfair share of them. This means you not only have to find leads before others, but you also have to convert them to appointments before the others get to them, right? So as quick as you can have the ability to get to people who want to do business, you need to. Mood swings and circumstances can change. In a shift, the path from interest to appointment sometimes becomes hard. There's distractions and interferences that can actually discourage people, even when they're motivated. So the better you become at converting leads into appointments, the faster you'll be able to move and the more opportunities ultimately you're going to have. So lead conversion is simple, but it requires more than just winging it. Unfortunately, this is exactly what most agents do and what you should not do. So it's as straightforward as asking for their information but not running them off in the process. And it's as simple as finding common ground but not just finding things in common. It's as easy as requesting a meeting but not as haphazard as just letting it come to pass. In other words, getting an appointment can just happen or it can consistently happen. Conversion success comes to those who intentionally and repetitively do three things with every single lead. And you should write this down. Number one, you capture the lead. Number two, you connect with them. And number three, you close them. Capturing should always focus on getting enough information from someone so that you can contact them, right? Your connecting must feel natural and allow you to assess their needs and establish a relationship. And your closing will seem effortless and likely lead to a decision to meet if you do this. So you have a choice. Repeatable and dependable or unpredictable and unreliable. You can come prepared or you can wing it. It's your call. And as you're thinking about it right now, I'm guessing which one you're choosing, even if it's not the one you're doing. Many agents assume that a prospect will determine if they meet or not, but actually it will be you that determines that. Either your ability will cause a meeting to take place or your lack of ability will prevent it. This isn't a game of chance, but a game of scripts and systems. Scripts ensure that you effectively say what needs to be said in the most powerful way with the least amount of effort, and because it's a script or dialogue you've practiced and internalized, you don't have to be a master of making things up as you go. You simply have to adapt to what you know to any situation. Likewise, systems make sure that you are taking the right action at the right time with the least amount of effort. Painting by numbers doesn't require much thought or skill, right? But the outcome can be predictable and surprisingly successful. Systems and checklists can channel your customer responses in the exact same way. And ultimately, the key to success in setting appointments boils down to two things: knowing what to say and then knowing what to do. And you'll need to master your scripts and dialogues for the former and implement simple systems and checklists for the latter. And the question is, which comes first? Some approaches will lead with scripts and follows with systems, and others will lead with systems and then require scripts. All three steps in the conversion process, however, will require both. Top agents follow a proven path that allows them to consistently apply the right scripts and systems to each step in the process of capturing, connecting, and closing their leads. And the end result is what they're after, more appointments. So let's talk about capturing. You're in the sales business, and that means you only get paid when someone buys or sells something. So in the end, service and information are the two things you offer. market, and provide, right? At the same time, anything done for someone is done with the expectation that it leads to a sale or a listing sold. You must be clear on this point. Everything you do for someone, while done with a true servant's heart, only gets rewarded financially when a sale occurs. So to be successful in real estate, you and everyone who works with you must have this mindset. In a shift where people believe tire kicking, time talking, and market testing are their inalienable rights, it is truly imperative. The hard fact is, buyers and sellers approach you because they're interested in real estate, not your personal welfare. They assume you're doing just fine, and that isn't their concern, and they will always engage you for information first, service second, and transacting business last. And clearly, in order to earn the right to transact business, you must always focus on and do your best with the first two. Prospects have their own needs in mind, and that is how it should be, right? However, that means one important thing to you. While providing what they need, you must always, always be vigilant in getting what you need, right? So the first goal when you encounter someone by prospecting or marketing is to capture their name and contact information. Any information you give out is done with a mindset of service with a purpose. It's not that we walk around worried about getting paid or calculating our commissions. That's nonsense, and we don't want to do that. However, your customers' needs and your own aren't mutually exclusive. While serving others, we also serve ourselves. In serving ourselves, we are in fact providing for and protecting the interests of those who are counting on us, our family, our close associates, and of course the causes that we support. So you just have to keep that in mind. So here we go. One of the most hotly debated topics I ever encountered is a simple definition of a lead. It seems strange that some of the best and brightest in our field can't reach an agreement on how to define the very fuel of our economic engine, leads. Responses range simply from someone we meet, who we might some way do business with, to someone who needs to buy or sell in 90 days or less, and everything in between. However, one thing is universally agreed upon, and that is a lead is only a lead if you've captured a person's contact information. If you can't call them, email them, or write them, or drop by their home or office, then it's not a lead. It can't be, right? So we have to believe that capture is all about attitude. If you think you have the right to ask, you will. And we often hear, I don't want to seem pushy or intimidating. And the answer is always the same for me when I'm coaching. Then don't be. This type of fear is inappropriate because asking is just asking and it has no emotional energy attached to it. Our experience is that pushy people are pushy and has nothing to do with what they're doing or saying. So if you are, you are. But if you're not, you're not. And asking someone for their name and number has nothing to do with that. You have every right to ask at any time you wish the name and contact information of anyone and everyone you come in contact with, and that you truly have to believe. Now, it's not your job to give out as much free information as people want or do as much free work as they expect and then leave it to them to tell you when and if they want to be contacted. You shouldn't fear running someone off by asking for their information. If they won't tell you or they won't give it to you, then you need to know that as soon as possible, right? You're getting insight into whether or not they plan to work with you early in the game, and that's going to be important to you. So we found that some of the best scripts are the most straightforward ones. In other words, just ask for what you want, right? Thanks for the call. I'm Carrie Heibel. May I ask your name? And thanks. What is your phone number? Work really well right then and there. Those scripts, they just work well. They flow. You're just asking, and people typically will just give it to you, right? When asked separately, a script like, if I were to need to touch base with you, what number would that be? Or if I found exactly what you're looking for, how would I contact you? Or if I found out that information that you're wanting, how would I get in touch with you? Or how would I get that to you? These are still straightforward, and they are the best approach, and usually most people respond to it, like I said before. So it's really important, obviously, to have business cards, but there is kind of an approach that a lot of top producers use, and that is never carry a business card. When someone asks for the business card, then you can pull out a pen and piece of paper and say, thanks for asking. I'm sorry I don't have one with me. I run out of these all the time. I'm always giving them out. But what is your name and address? I'll get one to you. It's very straightforward and pretty much works every time. Remember, you guys, you're in the capture business. This same attitude and approach works well when you're capturing through marketing, whether it's an open house or anything like that. You can use a kind of guest log, and it can be written out something like, quote unquote, the owner has asked us to let them know who has dropped by and how we might get your feedback. Thanks for signing in. Use an interactive voice response system on your voicemail. Call 1-800-THE-HOME for more 1-800, whatever the number is, for more details on this home. which automatically captures their phone number, or internet registration forms that say, for a virtual tour, click here, or for lowest financing options, click here. And then when they click there, they're asked for their contact information, right? Always remember that you have to have a capture system in place, whether it's when you're talking to people or if it's online, at open houses, etc. If you don't, then you're just giving out information for free with little chance of getting compensated for it. And that just isn't a smart way of doing business. So let's move to connecting. Once you've captured a name and number, now it's time to connect. It's time to quickly lay a foundation for a working relationship. The fundamental theme of connecting is curiosity, to know who someone is, to understand their wants and needs, and to become aware of their worries and concerns. And at this point, you're investigating, you guys. You're not selling. You are a consultant who genuinely wants to understand their situation and offer help if needed. Your goal is to generate trust and build confidence, first yours and then theirs. It is your chance to show them what it feels like to work with you. Their experience of talking with you at this point will have more to do with them hiring you than almost anything that you can do, say, or send to them. So during the connecting step, things will feel like they're slowing down for just a moment, and that's good. The fundamental philosophy of connecting is people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. In other words, this isn't where you tell and sell your way to success, but where you ask and listen your way into their head and their heart. You've gotten what you needed, a name and a number, so now you move to connecting. There are 6 connecting questions to begin to connect and qualify the potential client, so I'd love for you to write these down. The connection happens, you guys, when you're listening and then asking great questions based on what you've heard. The old cliche that people don't care how much you know until you know they know how much you care, it's truly completely true and relevant right now in your business. And I know I said that twice, but I wanted to get it through your head. You guys, it is important. It is the truth. If you want someone to know you care, then listening to them is the most caring thing that you can do. So, number one, you have to get the scripts. Number two, you don't talk, you ask great questions. Number three, you listen with good intentions. Number four, you mimic, mirror, and match. You've all heard of that if you're a salesperson. And number five, you need to practice these things daily. So when learning new scripts, the professional agent will practice and role play daily in order to become proficient, right? Models before creativity, as we've talked about in the Millionaire Real Estate Agent coaching series. When learning scripts, memorize first, internalize second, and customize or personalize last. Trust the scripts, you guys. Trust that they will help you lead your client or your customer from where they are, which at that point is usually unsure, undecided, to where they really want to be, which is buying a home or signing a buyer's contract or selling a property. Practice your scripts daily. Every single agent should find a script partner. Time block 15 to 20 minutes every single day prior to getting on the phone or calling your leads, and get ready for a successful lead generating day. It will make a huge difference in your success, I promise you, in any market if you do this. When you connect with someone, you demonstrate that you care, like I said before. The two tools that you'll use are your mouth and your ears, but they're not used equally, right? You've heard this before. You have two ears, you have one mouth for that reason. Use them that way. Yeah, well, you'll ask and then listen and listen. Then you'll ask again and then listen and listen again. And be sure to take notes. It guarantees, A, that you remember what they said, and number two, it'll show them that you care. So it's really important to do that. So let's talk about the 6 connection questions. Number one, who are they? Who's the person you're talking to? Number two, what do they want or need to do? Number three, where do they want or need to do it? Number four, why do they want to need or do it? Number five, when do they want or need to do it? And number six, how do they plan to do it? Who, what, where, why, when, and how? Those are so, so important. You should write those down. Who, what, where, why, when, and how? These are the kinds of questions you need to be asking them, and then you need to listen, take notes, and truly understand. While you're questioning to sound conversational, please understand that while you're connecting, you're also qualifying, right? So these questions are the same, but the style is different. In effect, while you're qualifying, you're connecting. While you're connecting, you're qualifying. So your 6 connecting questions might be something like this. Back up. If you would, could you just tell me a little bit about yourself? Or, thanks for sharing that. Now, if you would, please tell me what you want to do. Or, so, are you looking for a new home? Or, I know you've called to get pricing and information on the property on Main Street. Are you thinking of selling your home or looking for price comparisons? Okay, so another question might be something like, well, thanks for sharing that. Now, if you would, could you share with me where you're thinking of moving? Or, where is your current home located? Or, do you have a home that you might need to sell? Or your question might look like something like, okay, thanks for sharing that. Now, if you would, could you share with me why you're doing this or why you're needing to move or what will this move mean to you? And then the next question could be something like, thanks for sharing that. Now, if you would, could you please share with me when you'd like to do this? And lastly, thanks for sharing that. Now, if you would, could you please share with me what you've already done to plan for this or how do you plan to do this? And as you'll notice, these scripts feel repetitive, and they kind of are. The interesting thing about scripts is that they are observed one way and experienced another. When you read them or role play them, they can feel stilted or overly repetitive, and that's how they feel to you. Please know, when it's received on the other end, they really do feel warm, sincere, and natural, particularly if that's the way that you're portraying it. So obviously answers are going to be different. You're going to need to keep it conversational. But these are the types of questions that you need to ask. And actually the questions that you're going to need to qualify them as well as connect with them. Note the intentional repetition of the phrases, thanks for sharing, or if you would, or could you please share. These are key phrases you must memorize and constantly use. Another question that I frequently ask is, would you be offended if I ask? This works really well because it sounds like you've asked if they literally would be offended, which they won't be, but when they answer no, they're actually saying yes to giving you permission to proceed. And this is what I call a negative positive, and it's one of the most powerful ways that you can put a question to someone. This is how you connect, you guys. Straightforward, without fear, full of questions, and with lots of listening. And once connected, you and they are ready for closure. So let's move to that, closing. Closing is where the rubber meets the road, and it's where a prospect becomes a lead and your lead-generating activities require you to go, getting an appointment. It's called closing someone, and although it's old sales language, you guys, you'd better dust it off and revisit it because an appointment is the real outcome you seek, and it requires real scripts to get you there. The positive thing about the concept of closing is that it leads to decisions and outcomes. The word close means end in mind and that you're bringing something to conclusion. And that is exactly what you're doing. You're concluding this discussion and seeing if there's a new one that can take place. So it's time for closure. You've gotten a name and a contact information and you've successfully connected with your prospect. There is one thing left to do, meet. So set up the meeting is your responsibility, you guys. Some agents think that meeting happens naturally without doing anything and other agents act as if it's all they care about. Both fall short. The right approach for closing and to get a meeting, it's really the only approach. You just have to ask, you guys. Ask to meet, when to meet, ask where to meet, ask if you should, could, want, or must meet. Just ask. Nothing is going to happen if you don't ask, and if it does, it's pure luck, and that's no way to run a business. Truthfully, if you've gotten their name and number and you've genuinely connected with them, then asking to meet is a natural thing to do, and in fact, they expect it and they want it. People want to buy but hate to be sold. People want to make the right decision and they fear being talked into the wrong one. People want help, but they're hesitant to ask for it. So you have to help them out. You have to ask for them. They want and need you to be in charge in a caring way. So asking. You'll ask people for an appointment either by phone or in person or in writing, right? Always remember that asking and writing will have the lowest conversion rate, obviously. And this is just due to your lack of ability to respond to any issues that they might have or objections, right? But any and all of these methods truly can be effective. 10 classic closes that work. There's the hard close, the soft close, the direct close, the indirect close, the trial close, the assumptive close, the negative positive close, which I just mentioned before, the take back close, the tie down close, and number 10, the alternative choice close. Well, many agents ask, why am I always being told to close, close, close? Well, because there is a time-tested reason. Well, people talk in absolutes. They seldom think in absolutes. Most of the time, a no isn't an absolute no and a yes isn't an absolute yes. There is a continuum. People use the words without being committed to them, and they don't really know where they are on that continuum. Every no can become a yes, and every yes can become a no. Closing is the process you use to find out where they are and to what they are committed. And as a salesperson and as a sales consultant, you aren't attached to their decision. Your goal is just to help them make one, right? Converting the lead requires the close, like we said. And so let's really quickly talk about the 10 most common types of closes, because I think this is really important. Many of you probably don't even realize you're using them, but it's important to know what they are. Okay, so here we go. The hard close would be something like, let's meet. You're really direct and you're telling them what you want to do. Number two, the soft close. I really enjoyed visiting with you. Would you like to get together to discuss this further? So you're kind of asking them a little bit to meet versus just telling them. The direct close, can we meet today? Doesn't get more direct than that. The indirect close, would it be okay if I got some information to look over and then we meet to discuss? Here's the trial close. Have we gone over enough today that in this meeting that meeting another time would be our next step? Or have we gone over enough today over the phone that meeting would be our next step? Number six, the assumptive close. It sounds like we should meet. I'm available most times this week, so what works best for you? Number seven, the negative positive close. Would you be offended if I asked if we could meet to go over this in person? Number eight, the take back close. I've really enjoyed visiting with you. To be honest, I'm not sure if I can be of help or not, but I'd be honored if we could meet to find out. And number nine, the tie down close. Wouldn't it make sense for us to meet in the next day or so? And lastly, the alternative choice close. What works better for you? Meeting today, sometime this afternoon, or tomorrow morning? So as you can see, many ways to ask people for an appointment. They all work. You'll just learn them and use them as you feel they're appropriate, and of course, the ones that feel more comfortable to you. So when you ask someone to meet, they're either going to say yes or no, right? They're either going to say yes, or when they say no, they're going to give you a reason that they can't. And this is the moment to remember that selling isn't verbal welfare, right? So don't get flustered, feel threatened, or get upset. Learn how to respond and let the conversion take its natural course. In the end, if they can meet and have a good reason enough to meet with you, they will. If they don't, they won't, and that's okay. And you really don't care what their answer is ultimately, because you're not getting into people. You're not obviously in a business to talk people into doing stuff they don't want to do. You're just trying to figure out who is ready and able and wants to work with you, right? So don't be attached to the outcome, but you need to get the answer. When you ask someone to meet, you're starting a dialogue that you can anticipate and practice. Here are some of the possible responses that you'll hear if you ask enough people to meet with you. No thanks, not now, not yet, we'll need to think about it. We have another agent, we know an agent, we're not sure what to do, we're just looking, we're just investigating our options right now, we're not in a hurry, we don't need to do anything, we'll get back to you on that, and on and on and on, right? Well, your job is to go through each of these, write that down their response, and then write down your response. Then grab another agent, and then role play. And if you do this, even for an hour, you know, a couple times a week, I promise you, you'll begin to feel comfortable when people start, you know, giving you those objections. And if you practice it before you actually start lead generating, you're going to even become more confident when you get on the phone. Even though the lead conversion process of capturing, connecting, and closing is the path you seek, there's always going to be a small percentage of leads that can't be converted directly to an appointment, right? We all know this. And no matter how skilled you are, how hard you try, an immediate meeting with them just isn't in the cards. There'll be a few people who are just not ready, willing, or able to meet with you, but they're still worth pursuing. And this is when your cultivation system becomes your indirect path to an appointment. It can be as simple as touching base regularly or as systematic as entering them into your database, implementing a touch program. While you'll always seek to meet with prospective sellers or buyers immediately, if you can't but still believe they're motivated, you should always stay in close contact with them until you get an appointment. And of course, this is the whole purpose of cultivation, right? Future lead generation and future lead conversion. Most agents struggle with cultivation. If they connect, they can't, you know, they move on to the appointment, but if they can't, they usually kind of just forget about them and these leads slip through the cracks. They simply just don't get back to people. Oddly enough, it surprises them and disappoints them when they hear that those people listed their house with someone else. Many times they never even hear about it. The business just kind of slides away. They seem to have no clue as to why their lead generation efforts aren't building a pipeline of business. They don't have a pipeline because they don't cultivate the leads that they can't immediately close for an appointment. So the process of cementing a relationship and saturating is really very, very important. We talked about this in my coaching series on the Millionaire Real Estate Agent. It's a very specific and purposeful application of the principle of basically a database, and you really need to do that. So go back to that coaching series if you need to touch base on that, but you need to put people on 8x8 programs and 33 touch programs and really keep in touch with them. And then guess what? Not only are you converting leads today, you're also converting leads tomorrow because you're building an important, important pipeline. So really, I just want to tell you that as you navigate from capturing a name and number to closing for an appointment, remember one key issue you must deal with, which is seller, which is, you know, that you need to get people to the table. You need to ask for the appointment, right? And so that's just extremely, extremely important. Lead conversion is one of the most skill-based aspects of your real estate business. And after lead generation, lead conversion is the most business-critical activity you must master. It's the one of the last things you delegate, and arguably the highest dollar productive use of your time. Getting appointments to make presentations is, in fact, a moment of truth. Get an appointment, and it's all downhill from there. Fail to get an appointment, and there's no hill to climb. It is where the possible business that comes from your lead-generating activities can turn into probably business and ultimately into profitable business. If you commit to mastering the skills of lead conversion, you will lift yourself above your competition. You will be even more than a lead generator. You will be a lead converter, and you won't just be fishing. You will finally be catching. Thank you guys so much for listening into this session of Shift, again, tactic number 5. Next Friday, right back here on Blog Talk Radio Coaching with Carrie at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, we're going to go over tactic number 6, catch people in your web, internet lead conversion. This is a big one in today's age. I'm super excited to talk to you about it. Please tune in live again. In the meantime, if you need a copy of this awesome book, don't forget to reach out to me. My handle on Twitter is CarrieHKW. You can find me at Coaching with Carrie on Facebook. Of course, right here on Blog Talk Radio, you can email me at CarrieHKW.com. Look forward to hearing from you. Thank you again so much for listening in. Make it a wonderful weekend. Don't forget to get out there, call those leads, convert them to an appointment, and I'll see you back here next time, Friday, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, Coaching with Carrie. Thanks, you guys. Have a great weekend.